This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Perpetually standing in the breach and always ready to stay in the fight. Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location. Presented by AR-500 Armor, the Armored Republic cometh. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Power number two. And coming to you live from the AR-500 Armor Radio Studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Boyd's Gun Stocks.
Who needs a Boyd's Hardwood Gun Stock? Everyone. Crack stock, back in action. Not the best fit? Now it's made for you. Tired look? Now the coolest gun in camp. Want tighter groups? Now you're more accurate than ever. A new Boyd's Hardwood Gun Stock will make your firearm fit, function, and look better than ever. Boyd's, rock your stock, rock your gun.
Yes. The thumb hole at one stock. The answer to every question. For those of you that are looking both for modularity and aesthetic feel, that they have solved that issue because they already had the aesthetics, they already had the modularity, and they dialing it in. And now they combined them. No reason not to head that way. Check them out at boydsgunstocks.com. The senior senator from my state, Senator Lindsey Graham, has taken over as chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee this month. And he has, that committee has, jurisdiction over federal antitrust law. Back in the day, during our Industrial Revolution, you know, we had people like Carnegie, Morgan, all kinds of people that were out there, Getty, Ford, all kinds of people that developed monopolies. And, the government stepped in and did something about it. Today's monopolies are different. Today's monopolies are Facebook and Google and Twitter. They are the new restrictive, oppressive robber barons of today. And the problem today is not the monopolies charging high prices for essential goods and services like oil and gas. Because Facebook, Twitter, and Google are free, but they are also three of the biggest, richest companies in world history. And as a result, three of the most powerful. While he was talking to the Wall Street Journal the other day, Facebook founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg inadvertently revealed today's problem, which he mistakenly thought would address the issues. He wrote, "Another question is whether we leave harmful or divisive content up because it drives engagement. We don't. People consistently tell us they don't want to see this content. Advertisers don't want their brands anywhere near it. The only reason bad content remains is because the people in artificial intelligence system we use to review it are not perfect, not because we have an incentive to ignore it." That was a very nice long way of saying that Facebook doesn't really believe in free speech. What they believe in and actively practice is censorship. See, Facebook, the premise behind Facebook was that you can get in touch with your old friends. You can find your old high school buddies, your family, place, you know, your people are so far away now. You can see pictures and videos, and here's a way to communicate with them directly, and you can do calls and video calls, and it's wonderful. But now they got to be concerned with, are your posts advertiser-friendly? They don't have an option there to where I say, well, I don't care if you put any advertisements on my page. Because the foregone conclusion is I will be putting up with advertisements. I get an advertisement every other day saying, well, you could boost this post. And every time I do it, they say no, so I just quit. Harmful or divisive content is very vague and broad for Mark Zuckerberg to have the power to prohibit in public discourse. Now, if you're a Protestant, a Catholic sermon can be divisive, if not outright harmful. and vice versa. A standard Muslim sermon can similarly be considered divisive, if not harmful and threatening to both. A vigorous defense of the right to keep and bear arms can sound divisive, harmful, and threatening to, pacifist, not a real pacifist, of course. Antifa, definitely. These days, a standard Republican argument for an across-the-board tax cut can sound divisive to a Democrat. Ditto for a speech calling for a 70% tax rate in the ears of the free market Republican. Same for a wealth tax. Now, the wisdom of the ages gave us freedom of speech, embodied in the First Amendment, to deal with all of these issues. If you disagree with something you hear, your proper response is to exercise your right to explain your viewpoint, not to ban whatever has offended you. And Facebook made themselves, said that we are part of the modern public square. So as part of the modern public square, Facebook should be allowing its users to have these debates rather than shutting them down, to allow them to make their own decisions rather than directing them what they can and cannot say. And the question becomes, who elected Zuckerberg to referee these issues? Answer is nobody. So, I'm sure that Facebook has lots of market research where users tell them they don't want to see harmful or divisive speech. And advertisers, I'm sure, tell them all the time that they don't want their ads anywhere near such speech. But then again, Facebook's artificial intelligence once removed an extensive passage of the Declaration of Independence as hate speech. And we should all agree that that is a mischaracterization. But everyone should also recognize that these misfires happen on the regular when big tech is in full control. You can argue that Facebook is a private company free to do what it wants with speech on its platform, just like any newspaper can refuse any op-ed from anyone whose speech it does not want to support. And this is where properly understood antitrust policy comes in. Breaking up a big company is not the only remedy under antitrust. If a company has accumulated too much market power, as Facebook has, it can be found guilty of violating antitrust law. The remedy can be a binding federal agreement known as a consent decree, requiring the company to allow the policy of viewpoint neutrality. That is to protect the First Amendment by prohibiting the singling out or freezing of one set of opinions and perspectives. Critics argue that the antitrust action would be ineffective, but Graham doesn't. He knows that's not true. Consent decrees almost always work spectacularly in fumigating abusive tendencies. All a consent decree does is to establish rules of the road that must be adhered to, leaving private organizations alone except in the cases where they ignore these federal agreements. And in these instances, the courts typically intervene swiftly and effectively, imposing hefty financial penalties that disincentivize the bad behavior from happening again. Like the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, ASCAP and Broadcast Music, Inc., BMI, two things that I have to abide by the way, two companies which hold a duopoly over the music performance licensing industry, agreed to federal consent decrees back in 1941. 2016, they reviewed them and rightly determined they should be kept in place undisturbed because of how effective they have been at regulating their behavior. And sure, they backed it up a little bit, but creating a consent decree mandating adherence to viewpoint neutrality would be the most appropriate remedy for Facebook, Google, and the even less menacing Twitter. No serious advocate of limited government believes the government needs to immediately break up private companies by force. But at the same time, antitrust consent decrees can get the job done here, just as they have in the music industry for the better part of a century, protecting their market share and autonomy while simply taking a light-handed regulatory approach to police and prohibit the predatory behavior. Freedom means no referees in a lot of cases, especially in the course of this and the discourse that comes between us. And, you know, Facebook became big by luring us in, by becoming part of the public forum. And now they want to regulate things and deplatform people. Go for it, Senator Graham. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Every month we give away thousands of dollars in guns and gear at gunwinner.com. Catering to the shooter, hunter, prepper, or collector. All giveaways are free to enter courtesy of the contest sponsors. You can win guns from companies like Nighthawk Customs, Springfield, and many more. Every month, the giveaways, the contests, everything begins again, so go to gunwinner.com and enter to win. For all of your gun deals and giveaways, gunwinner.com.
Now you know. I will meet you there.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Just visit startlivingyoung.com and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health company with over $1 billion a year in sales. They'll provide all the tools you need to succeed. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Live from the AR 500 Armor Radio Studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Boyd's Gun Stocks. If it'll play, go ahead, play. Well, hey, hang on. Try that again.
Who needs a Boyd's Hardwood Gun Stock? Everyone. Crack Stock, back in action. Not the best fit? Now it's made for you. Tired look? Now the coolest gun in camp. Want tighter groups? Now you're more accurate than ever. A new Boyd's Hardwood Gunstock will make your firearm fit, function, and look better than ever. Boyd's. Rock your stock. Rock your gun.
Check them out at boydsgunstocks.com. We're beginning to see a dynamic occur. We've seen some of it in New York. We see some of it in California from time to time. Not so much California, because in California, certain parts of California are virtually shall issue as far as concealed carry permits are. And so it's really, you know, when I'm out there and I'm saying that a shift in the dynamic, that's just sort of going against what the bigger cities have going on in California. Oregon. Oregon is proposing laws that would make the only legal firearms to own in the state the ones that Davy Crockett used. And I may be slightly exaggerating there, but you get my point. Washington looks to complete the West Coast's evisceration of gun rights, and new ballot initiatives passed once again due to the urban-rural divide. But there's a wrinkle in the left's plan to curb the constitutional rights. And this is a serious wrinkle. It's a serious wrinkle because this is where, and we'll get to this later, this is where resistance would build. This is where we might see something armed occur. And I'm going to illustrate exactly how effective that would be later on. But the rural sheriffs of Washington State. Washington's sheriffs are vowing to resist enforcing these new laws. Coming via The Guardian, in Washington State, a freshly implemented ballot initiative and a raft of new bills may produce some of the tightest firearms regulations in the U.S. But standing in the way is a group of rural law enforcement officers who say point blank that they won't enforce any of it. Sheriffs are elected. They are never appointed. They are elected. So this is where the sheriff has long been, in my viewpoint, the more preeminent of the law enforcement officials in any given jurisdictions. But it goes on. In November, state's voters handily passed an initiative, I-1639, which mostly targeted semi-automatic rifles. As of 1 January, purchases of these weapons must now be over 21, undergo an enhanced background check, and must have completed a safety course, and need to wait 9 days to take possession of their weapon. Let me give you a couple of inaccuracies there. If you're buying a gun from an FFL, a commercial gun dealer, you do not have to go through an enhanced background check. If you're buying it from a private citizen, you may have to go in front of an FFL to get them to do it, or the sheriff, and that's where the enhanced comes in, the private property part of it all. Also, gun owners who fail to store their weapons safely risk felony community endangerment charges. And feeling the wind at their backs after the ballot, gun campaigners and leftist legislators have now gone even further in the new legislative session. Bills introduced in the last week to Washington's Democrat-dominated legislature look to further restrict firearms. Some laws would ban standard capacity magazines and plastic guns made with 3D printers. Others would mandate training for concealed carry permits and remove guns and ammo during and after domestic violence incidents. I-1639 passed on a roughly 60-40 split in the big blue counties west of the Cascade Mountains, such as King County, where Seattle is located, where this show is heard. The margins were even bigger, but 27 of Washington's 39 counties rejected the ballot measure. Many of those counties are in the state's more rural, sparsely populated districts. It is in these counties that many, including sworn officers, are promising to resist the laws. Sheriff in Ferry County, Ray Maycumber, told The Guardian that he would not be enforcing the laws either, at least until the NRA's litigation is completed. There's a window of time when I get to make that assessment. Should the NRA not succeed, he said he would consider if I want to go on in the job. This is a problem for totalitarians, because wherever they cannot enforce the law, and the only way for them to get past this would to be to roll in there and take over law enforcement by force. They would have to install their own people, which means they would disenfranchise the people that elected this sheriff. And by extension, since the sheriff hires his staff and his deputies and his command and control crew, they would be, they'd have to replace all of them. They can't leave any of them in place because those guys are all loyal to the sheriff. You see, getting out there and crying out, resist, that's a double-edged knife. That's something that cuts both ways. The only difference is that our side is right and yours is wrong. The Second Amendment is quite clear when fighting for its popularity and it's about protecting freedom and the Constitution. The left's resistant antics are all due to the fact that Hillary Clinton lost. And all they're resisting is reality. You can't get all huffy about these rural sheriffs subverting the will of the people of Washington as if Seattle really represents the whole state, but then support government officials to engaging in deep state antics in D.C. to subvert the will of the people in the 2016 election. You can't do that both at the same time. Now, the part that I find most intriguing in all of this is the fact that this will lead to a loss if it comes down to it, because all of these areas where you find the Antifa and the leftist governments and everything, where they have high degrees of gun control, you have a disarmed populace in these areas, right? And like I said in Venezuela yesterday, the only people that have guns in these areas are the criminals and the police. So if the sheriffs allow the citizens in their respective counties, 27 out of 39, you have a superior force of people that is, you're not going to be able to take them. You're not going to be able to do it. And, we can look at all kinds of things all you want to, but we're going to get into fourth-generation warfare and asymmetrical warfare in the last segment of this hour, and I will show you how this is a very doable thing, a very easily done thing, if that's what it comes down to. And that's all that they're setting themselves up for, and they don't even understand it. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Needs a Boyd's hardwood gun stock? Everyone. Crack stock? Back in action. Not the best fit? Now it's made for you. Tired look? Now the coolest gun in camp. Want tighter groups? Now you're more accurate than ever. A new Boyd's hardwood gun stock will make your firearm fit, function, and look better than ever. Boyd's. Rock your stock. Rock your gun.
Like a piece of Americana, this is Nighthawk Custom. Completing Browning's vision of the 1911, Nighthawk Custom is not a mass production facility. Each custom touch is machined to an exacting standard, with the heart and soul of each craftsman that takes it through the process. Traditional or tactical, Nighthawk Custom delivers a weapon you can trust with your life. Custom to your specification or ready to ship with the reserve line. For their complete selection, go to NighthawkCustom.com. Nighthawk Custom. One gun, one gunsmith.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Temperatures are expected to reach between 15 and 30 below zero in some parts of the country. Dr. Tom Walters, an emergency department physician at Cleveland Clinic, has some tips if you really do have to head outside.
You want to cover up all exposed areas that you can, fingers, ears. Some things you can't cover up as much, like a nose, although in this day and age there's a lot of face masks out there you can wear if you're out working in the cold.
Police say it was a dangerous drug raid and shootout that left five Houston police officers injured and two suspects dead. Houston Police Union President Joe Grimaldi says he's sick and tired of people using the anti-police rhetoric against them.
We've just had enough. We go out there every single day. We put our lives on the line. And all we want is a fair shake and for people to understand that we're the good guys. We love our community.
Grimaldi was speaking there on Fox News, and he also said he wants to keep people accountable for their actions. This is USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Radio Studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Boyd's Gunstocks.
Who needs a Boyd's hardwood gun stock? Everyone. Crack stock, back in action. Not the best fit? Now it's made for you. Tired look? Now the coolest gun in camp. Want tighter groups? Now you're more accurate than ever. A new Boyd's hardwood gun stock will make your firearm fit, function, and look better than ever. Boyd's, rock your stock, rock your gun.
Indeed. Check them out at boydsgunstocks.com. NRA, and anybody that talks along, well, first of all, let's be frank here. NRA is a term for the Second Amendment advocacy. There are others than the NRA, but NRA is the one that everybody vilifies, and vilified by the gun ban community, and their supporters in the fake stream legacy media. They're vilified as an extremist organization because they defend our right to keep and bear arms. All you got to do, though, is look at the anti-gun agenda, and this will show the proponents of restriction on right, protected by the U.S. Constitution, are the true extremists. In Oregon, back to Oregon, we see just how extreme the anti-gun legislative agenda has become, thanks to State Senator Rob Wagner and its proposal, Senate Bill 501. He touts this as having been drafted with the help of high school students. Now, let me ask you a question. How is it that we can't allow a young person to buy a gun in some of these states until they're 21, but prior to that, they can help craft public policy? How do you rectify those two things? Senate SB 501 seeks to enact a number of draconian restrictions on Oregon's law-abiding gun owners. Among the restrictions are standard anti-gun proposals like permits for all gun owners and waiting periods and mandatory storage and penalties for failing. The deadline for reporting a loss of stolen firearm has been arbitrarily set at 24 hours. But then when you turn over the responsibility of creating new laws to children, you can expect some real doozies, and SB 501 delivers that in spades. Because this is truly an extreme bill, should it become law. This would establish magazine capacity limits and ammunition restrictions that only a child with little knowledge of the practical, lawful use of guns could envisage. Magazine capacity would be set at 5 rounds. Nobody does that. Even the Glock 43 has a 6-round magazine. This would be the lowest standard in the nation, and there is no grandfather clause. Perhaps the author of the bill is unaware that even the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit, certainly not the friendliest court to the Second Amendment, found a 7-round limit in New York to be unconstitutional. If you own a magazine that holds 6 or more rounds, which is the vast majority of them, you must get rid of it in one of the manners prescribed by the legislation. So much for the Fifth Amendment. So much for the self-defense of property rights. The ammunition restrictions are even more extreme. SB 501 sets a limit for purchasing ammunition at 20 rounds in any 30-day period. Law-abiding gun owners commonly purchase ammunition in large quantities to save money, or if they're going to a class. I had a tactical response. It was 1,000 rounds, right? 20 rounds would have been one magazine. I'm done. Thanks for coming. I just drove 9 hours to shoot these 20 rounds. Thanks for coming. Not to mention that most law-abiding gun owners own more than one gun. Should FB 501 become law, you would be expected to not only be less frugal, but to portion out your ammunition purchases to a monthly trip every time you want to restock ammunition for a particular gun. Mind you, of course, they're not going to be setting up checkpoints on the border, on the Oregonian border. So this means you can go outside the state and buy all the ammo you want and drive it back in, and they're not going to be able to. This is unenforceable. So, the only exception for ammunition limits is for ammunition purchased and used at a range. And as most gun owners know, range ammunition is usually there for convenience, and it costs a lot more than anything you buy outside of that range. And no more frugality for bringing your own ammunition. And then we get into the vagaries. The law isn't clear as to what it means when it offers the exception for ammunition purchased and used at a target shooting range. Are you required to use all the ammunition you purchase? If you buy 50 rounds or 100 rounds or 1,000 rounds, can you only shoot them at the range? Are you in violation of law if you decide you've spent enough time at the range before you exhaust the more expensive ammunition you purchased and go home with a few rounds? Will the range be responsible for monitoring every visitor to ensure they expend every last round that's been purchased? So does this mean gun ranges will become like Walmart? It'll become like a combination of Walmart and basic training, because whenever we would go to the range, we would have to declare no brass, no ammo, and then they would be hitting us in our magazine pouches, look in our weapons, look in the magazines we had, and if we had no brass, no ammo, we could go our merry old way. I guess the ranges will become the bullet police. And then there are those who hunt birds and other small game, and they go through more than 20 rounds on a hunting trip, especially one that covers several days. If they've not stockpiled ammunition with monthly purchases for 20 rounds, they are presumably simply out of luck once they run out. Oregon could become the bastion for out-of-state hunters, as they will not be affected by purchase limits, and in-state hunters will likely become frustrated and hunt less. Or I guess they could go out-of-state, too, and hunt where they can buy whatever they want. Competitive shooters. Well, you're going to have to plan a few years in advance before you consider entering a competition. The most egregious aspect of the ammunition limits, however, is the more you shoot, the safer and more proficient you become. And this legislation, which is sold as a gun safety bill, could actually make law-abiding gun owners less safe, as they will undoubtedly practice less, especially those who do most of their practicing in a lawful, safe manner, but not at a target shooting range sanctioned by the gun control crowd. Beyond the extremism of SB 501, anti-gun extremists seem to wish that we could abandon the concept of self-defense altogether. Chicago police reported that a 19-year-old man with a firearm accosted a woman while she was at a bus stop. The woman struggled with her assailant, drew her own firearm, and shot him in the struggle. I would consider that to be justified for this female, who had a permit to carry her concealed firearm, to use lethal force when facing an armed violent attack. Well, thank Progress editor Zach Ford didn't see it that way. Ford fired off a tweet in response to the incident shaming the victim when he wrote, "This is not how justice works. The penalty for theft is not death, nor do we want it to be." What he's ignoring here is the violent attacker was armed with his own firearm, and he wasn't simply attempting to commit theft. He was, in fact, committing aggravated assault with an armed robbery, which is violent crime. Ford seems to think that a crime victim confronted with an armed assailant must believe that she is in no real danger of being harmed unless the assailant affirmatively announces such an intent. And fortunately, American self-defense law doesn't work that way, as Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes put it, detached reflection cannot be demanded in the presence of an uplifted knife. Or in this particular case, a gun. So we ask, you know, let me ask you, who are the extremists in the debate over guns? Are they those who would defend the rights protected by the U.S. Constitution? Are they people like Zach Ford who thinks it's okay to accost a woman with a gun, and as long as she's not going to be killed, she shouldn't be able to defend herself? So does that mean she could be raped? Can she be beaten? Can't she be shot in a non-life-threatening manner? How far does that go, Zach? So are the extremists the people who propose this legislation that it would eviscerate these rights and try to shame crime victims for defending their lives? Which do you think it is? Which, in your opinion, which one is it? I've already made up my mind. I made up my mind before I even opened this segment, but I just thought I would share that one with you. Because I'm not the extremist. You're not the extremist. But we hear from them all the time. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
From the AR-500 Armored Radio Studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Boyd's Gun Stocks.
Who needs a Boyd's Hardwood Gun Stock? Everyone. Crack Stock, back in action. Not the best fit? Now it's made for you. Tired look? Now the coolest gun in camp. Want tighter groups? Now you're more accurate than ever. A new Boyd's Hardwood Gun Stock will make your firearm fit, function, and look better than ever. Boyd's. Rock your stock. Rock your gun.
Indeed. Check them out at boydsgunstocks.com, would ya? You'll love what you see. You'll love the prices. The prices for their gun stocks are crazy low compared to anybody else that puts them out that are that high a quality. Go check them out. Here is a quote from Colonel Jeff Cooper. It is interesting to hear certain kinds of people insist that the citizen cannot fight the government. That would have been news to the men of Lexington and Concord, as well as the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. The citizen most certainly can fight the government, usually wins when he tries. Organized national armies are used primarily for fighting against other organized national armies. When they try to fight against the people, they find themselves at a very serious disadvantage. If you will just look around at the state of the world today, you will see that the guerrillero has the upper hand. Irregulars usually defeat regulars, providing they have the will. Such fighting is horrible to contemplate, but will continue to dominate brute strength. This is Jeff Cooper's ode, his opus, if you will, to the guerrilla. Now, you know, most people don't really want to discuss the... they don't want to discuss the real reason for the Second Amendment, the right of citizens to defend themselves against a potentially tyrannical government. Inevitably, someone points out the stark difference in firepower between a guerrilla uprising in the United States and the United States government itself. Not really a trivial observation. The U.S. government spends more on the military than the governments of China, Russia, Saudi Arabia, India, France, United Kingdom, and Japan combined. Plus, the potential of a tyrannical government is arguably upon us when you have the federal government spying on its own citizens and militarizing local police departments with equipment and tactics from the war on terror and repeatedly searching Americans, which desensitizes them to this invasive process. There is a more historical precedent, however, for guerrilla uprisings defeating more powerful enemies. During the Cold War, Both superpowers were brought to their knees by rural farmers. For the Soviets, their adventure in Afghanistan against the Mujahideen, and for the United States, the Vietnam War against the Viet Cong. In both cases, nuclear weapons could have been used against the guerrilla uprising, but they were not. Even assuming the use of nuclear weapons from the position of total desperation, it's hard to imagine that they would have made much of a difference in the final outcome of either conflict. Unlike the invading armies, the local resistance enjoyed broad-based support as well as knowledge of the local terrain. Imagine this happening here in the United States. You wouldn't be the first person to do so. Red Dawn was an imagination of that happening. The Patriot series by James Wesley Rawls. There is a relatively long-standing tradition of American survival literature about the hoi polloi resisting the tyranny of big government either before or after a collapse. So, for the purpose of this talk, let's consider what a domestic American terrorist or freedom fighter, because the label is in the eye of the beholder, organization based on the militia movement would look like in an open revolt against the United States government. In the spirit of levity, let's call them the hillbilly Viet Cong. They would most likely find their largest numbers in Appalachia, but don't discount their power in the American redoubt or in the more sparsely populated areas of the American Southwest, including rural Texas. And here you have tens of thousands of Americans armed to the teeth with combat experience, deep family ties to both the cops and the military, extensive knowledge of where they are, and in many cases, survivalist training. Even where they're not trained, militant, and active, they enjoy broad support among those who own a lot of guns and grow a lot of food. On the other side, you have the unwieldy baby hooey of the rump U.S. government's military, with some snarky BuzzFeed editorial serving as propaganda. Could the hillbilly Viet Cong take down the United States government? Maybe, maybe not, but it's difficult to imagine that the U.S. government could take them down. Even with the number of nasty little toys on the side of the government, we live in an age of technologically leveled playing field. That's true even when it comes to the instruments of warfare. And while the government does have nuclear weapons, it's worth remembering that a pound of C4 strapped to a cheap and readily available commercial-grade drone is going to break a lot of dishes. And this sort of guerrilla insurgency has a name. It's called fourth generational warfare. You already live in this world, by the way. So what, you know, when I say fourth, let's talk about what I'm talking, what was first? First generation is what would you have seen in the, you know, the movie 300. This is Sparta, you know that one? The hallmarks of this generation of warfare are armies from two different state actors getting in line and column tactics and wearing uniforms to tell the difference between themselves. That generation is not entirely without subterfuge. For example, counterfeit currency was used to devalue the money supply during the First Generation War and Napoleonic Wars. Other examples of conflicts include the English Civil War and the American Revolutionary War. Second generation warfare came with the advent of rifling and breech-loaded weapons. If you studied your history, the invention of rifling was one of the reasons the United States Civil War was so bloody. That meant that firearms that were once mostly for show after 100 feet were now deadly weapons, and tactics did not immediately evolve. But evolve, they did. Many things we take for granted as being just part of warfare, like camouflage and artillery and reconnaissance, are defining features of second-generation war. Warfare. The American Civil War is probably the first second-generation warfare conflict. Others include the First World War, the Spanish Civil War, and more recently the Iran-Iraq War. The United States military coined this phrase in 1989. Then we come to third-generation warfare. This phase is the late modern version of warfare where speed and stealth play a much bigger role. Weapons and tactics alone are less important. Instead, military units seek to find ways to outmaneuver one another before or even instead of meeting on the battlefield. The era of third-generation warfare was initiated with the Blitzkrieg, which marked the decisive end of cavalry and replaced it with tank and helicopter warfare. Junior officers were given more leeway to give orders, and the Second World War was the first 3GW conflict, followed by the Korean, Vietnam, and both Iraq wars, becoming further examples of this style of fighting. So what is fourth generation warfare? This is basically simply this. It's the most direct way of discussing. It's any war between a state actor and a non-state actor. This is also known as asymmetrical warfare, but it's not the only difference between fourth-generation warfare and other earlier forms of conflict. Asymmetrical warfare does blur the lines between combatants and civilians. This came in part because it was during the Bush-era war on terror, so this is what made it so difficult and complicated. The war was against a set of ideas rather than a nation or even an extranational army. There's a lot of characteristics that come out of this, too. The first is the use of terrorism as a regular tactic, almost always on the part of the non-state actor. Particularly for the state actor, non-combatants become tactical problems. You simply just can't carpet bomb and hope everything works out. The non-state actors tend to be very highly centralized. The one faction can stop fighting as another 10 crop up in its place. Funding and source of manpower and material comes from a wide array of sources spread out over nearly the entire globe. And this makes fourth-generation warfare long and drawn out for years or perhaps even decades. The psychological warfare, the propaganda, and lawfare aspects are an integral part of the conflict. Simply put, with fourth-generation warfare favors the guerrilla. It favors the non-state actor. And that would be me and you today. We are the favored ones. We would be making the rules as we go, where they would have a set of rules they have to live by. We've seen this before in Laos, Myanmar, Iran, Guatemala, Vietnam, the Congo, Cuba, East Timor, Korea, Poland, and Afghanistan. It would work here as well. We have the advantage. Coming up next, a little recap from SHOT Show and some whatever else is on his mind. We're going to talk to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load.
Makes top quality AR style firearms for sports, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word lock and load at franklinarmory.com.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.